Jesus spoke in John chapter 4 and verse 24. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So I just want to say a few words first of all about worshiping God in the spirit. Now under the old covenant, first of all, notice in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 we saw the threefold nature of man: spirit, soul, and body. Man is a trinity. He's made in the image of God, who is a trinity: spirit, soul, and body. A lot of people confuse spirit and soul. I think there are some Christians who probably think they are the same, but they are not. Hebrews 4:12 speaks about the word of God dividing between soul and spirit, so it's not the same. And speaks here about entire sanctification involving spirit, soul, and body. Now in the Old Testament tabernacle, which is a picture of God's dwelling place. In fact, God told Moses, tell them to make a sanctuary for me, a dwelling place where I can dwell. God dwelt in that tabernacle. And the literal translation of John 1:14 is that the word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. Dwelt among us in tabernacle. So the tabernacle in the Old Testament is a picture of a human being, the way God made man. And the tabernacle had three parts: the most holy place, the holy place, and the outer court. The outer court was the only one that was visible to everybody. There was one visible part, the outer court. And there were two parts that were covered with curtains, in a tent. The holy place, the most holy place, exactly like man. Our body is the only visible part, corresponding to the outer court. And the holy place, the most holy place, are the soul and spirit, covered. And between the soul and spirit, between the holy place, the most holy place, was this thick veil, which was rent when Jesus died. And until Jesus died, there was this veil indicating that no one could come into God's immediate presence. God didn't dwell in the outer court. God didn't dwell in the holy place. God dwelt in the most holy place of that tabernacle. And nobody could go there. Nobody could get into that life in the spirit in the Old Testament. They could worship God only in the body and in the soul. In the outer court and the holy place. There was a lot of activity in the outer court. A lot of activity in the holy place too. They were always, you know, burning the incense and making sure the lampstand was burning, etc. But when you came to the most holy place, of course they couldn't come there. High priest could go there just once a year. It wasn't activity. It was worship. And the mark of a spiritual man is, one mark, that he's comfortable in the most holy place. He's comfortable when he's worshiping God. If our service for God and our activity means more to us than worshiping God, I would say we put the cart before the horse. I'm not saying we don't need the cart. We're just saying put the cart before the horse. You remember the words of Jesus in Matthew 4, I think it's verse 10, where he told Satan in answer to one of the temptations, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You see the order there? You got to worship before you serve. And here Jesus said that the Father, verse 23, seeks those who will worship him. The true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Jesus was explaining to the Samaritan woman, you know, when she was asking him, do we worship in this mountain or Jerusalem? And Jesus said, the place is not the thing. It doesn't matter where you worship. The hour is coming. Verse 23. So in other words, it wasn't possible until this time. But now, a new age is dawning. It has now come. Verse 23. John 4:23. When the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit. Till now, they could only worship in the body and the soul. But now, they're going to worship in the Spirit. Now they're going to enter right into the presence of God. In the Old Testament, it's amazing what all they could do without entering into God's presence. We know very clearly that there was this veil indicating that no man could enter into God's presence. Until Jesus died and rose again, the veil was not rent. In Hebrews 10, it's called a new and living way that Jesus opened up through the veil. So, it's very clear that all Old Testament worship was not in the immediate presence of God. And without being in the immediate presence of God, people could clap and shout and dance and play instruments and make such resounding noises of praise. We read in 1 Samuel 4 that Israel shouted so loud once when the ark came into the midst that the earth began to shake. Their worship was very impressive, very noisy, very musical, but it wasn't in the Spirit. It's possible today. And we need to discern that. We live in a day when Christians don't have much discernment of what is spiritual and what is human. And that's the reason for a lot of confusion in a lot of things that go by the name of being spirit-filled. A lot of it is just soul-filled, not spirit-filled. It's not in the Spirit at all. And we can learn that when we go to the Psalms and see what tremendous forms of worship they had there, David and all the others, and yet the hour had not yet come in those days for man to worship God in the Spirit. The veil was not rent. But now the veil has been rent, and Jesus said, the hour is coming, now is, when the true worshipers. And God desires each of us to be in that number, dear brothers and sisters, true worshipers, who will worship Him in spirit and truth. And it says the Father seeks for such worshipers. Imagine the longing of God as He looks down upon the earth, where there are so many whom He has redeemed, and He's seeking for worshipers. The question is, whether He finds them in us. It's more exciting to serve. And that's why carnal people prefer that. Worship is more something personal between us and God. And I'm not talking about praise. I mean, there's thanksgiving, there's praise, there's worship. And they are three different things. Thanksgiving relates to, you know, many gifts God's given us. We can thank God for food, we thank God for health, we thank God for gifts and other things that He's given us in many ways. We praise God for the fact that He is sovereign and He's almighty and He's holy and all those things. But when it comes to worship, worship is something so completely centered in God. It's got nothing to do with me. It's got nothing to do with what God's done for me, or it's got to do with God Himself, with the person of God. It's very difficult to define. It's a thing that brings intimacy between man and God, between God and man. Intimacy. It's the thing that can preserve us from backsliding, from many, many things. So I would encourage all of you, if you're not already one, be a worshiper. It doesn't matter if you don't serve so much, if you're a worshiper, because your service will be so much better quality that there will be a lot more gold, silver and precious stones when Christ comes back. And you won't have any regret in your life if you worship. A worshipper is not, it's not this monastic type of thing I'm talking about where you lock yourself up in a cell and keep on meditating. A lot of people are not worshipping there. Worship is an attitude which never goes away from our life. It's a life of very close, intimate walk with Jesus. The type of relationship described in Song of Solomon between the bride and the bridegroom. That's the type of worship I'm talking about. Worshipping in the Spirit.